Good afternoon. Hope you all have a satisfying lunch and you're full and filled and therefore tense and prone to fall asleep in the afternoon. Which is good because, you know, this is where I come in. Well, let's get something out of the way first, generally. People tend to call me Michael, so you're allowed to call me that. No problem. All right? And I just realized this year that I used to be called a machine gun, and this year I have been changed to a roller coaster. Now, you guys can go and figure that out. I'm not going to explain the puzzle, but it's up to you guys. Right, so let's get out of the way. We are now on an equal footing. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we're going to start our afternoon sessions. Now, I don't know whether I have drawn a, well, virtual short straw, because when AMC sort of compiled the free syllabus, first, I maintained that I should not be amongst the lecturers, but my objection was overruled. Unfortunately, to me, anyway. And secondly, and this is really a short straw, don't tell anybody, right? For 3 consecutive years, my name has been put against the same topic. You know, each lecturer, they got different topics every year, right? And for me, yours truly, I got attached to the same topic. Now, whether it is a good or bad thing, I have no idea. But one thing I know is, for people who have been here for the first and second year, this is the third year, okay, by the way. For people who have been here first and second year, hopefully I won't bore you to death. Just to make sure, who was here last year? Help! Who was here the year before? Right, okay, so guys, there's tea downstairs. No, seriously. Right, okay, so please bear with me if I tend to repeat myself occasionally. But before even I do that, every time I start a new session, a new class, there's something that I like to do. Guess what? No, I don't do introduction. What do I do? Someone who has been here last year and the year before. That's something that I do, begin with an S. Sorry? Same. Okay. That's good. Good try, good try. We begin with an S.
Sing.
No, we have just sung. It begins with F, S, U.
Suffer.
Assume.
Suffer, yeah. Yes. Very good, yes. I know. You see, the truth starts to come out now, you know. What happened in the year before and the years, you know.
Summary?
No, I like to start with a survey.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes, I like to start with a survey. In order to do a survey, it needs your participation. And so we please kindly, if you're on a computer, I am a people who tends to advocate paperless office, so if you use a computer, that's fine, use a computer, please. Open up your Word or your word processing document, whether it is a notepad or a Word or whatever you want to use. Open it up, start a new document, and for all the people who are not on a piece of, for all other people, you are welcome to have a piece of paper that I nicked from the photocopying machine. Well, I must confess where it comes from, seriously. Survey.
I'm ready
for the test. A survey. Right. Okay. Right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. For those either you are using a computer, it doesn't matter, or a piece of paper, I want you to mark out 10 lines. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Please mark it up now. And for those who are using a piece of paper, try to do it on the sort of on the side and leave some space for writing. And please do not cheat for people who have been here before. Yes, 1 to 10. Hopefully we can count. Now that's a good start. If we can count up to 1 to 10, right? Yeah, we can all count 1 to 10. Good, lovely. Right, now I'm going to give you exactly 1 minute. Now, I must say that, you know, for people who have done many hard times of the survey, and James is smiling at me now. And I apologize to the YTTC students and YTTC team leaders, because I tend to do the same thing all over again, and it never fails to amuse me. Right, never mind. I'll give you exactly 1 minute, starting from now. List the 10 basic articles of faith. Just the main keywords. 5 seconds gone. 10 articles of faith, just the main key words, hopefully in a right order as published by the TJC. 20 seconds, not 20 minutes, time flies, but not that quickly. 25. Half a minute is gone, so you should now be down to number 5, if not more. The point is, I expect my students to be able to complete that within 15 seconds. So I'm very generous to start with. That's 1 minute. That's 4 times the normal time that I would allow the student to do it. By the way, that's 45 seconds gone. Have you got it all? Are we there yet? 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Put your hands down or stop touching your keyboard. Okay, survey number 1 has been completed. Let's see what the result is. Someone volunteered? Yes, sir. Oh,
just read it all.
Just read it all from 1 to 10.
Number 1, one true God.
Good.
2, Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm.
3, church. Go to Jesus' church.
Okay.
4, baptism.
Mm-hmm.
5, Holy Communion.
Good.
6,
no.
Holy Spirit.
Foot washing.
Foot washing.
No.
Holy Spirit.
5 is Holy Spirit.
Okay.
6.
Foot washing.
Foot washing.
Holy.
Then Holy Communion.
Sabbath.
Salvation.
Sabbath. Salvation.
Resurrection.
Second coming. Okay, I will repeat once again. Okay. One true God. Bible. One true church. Water baptism. Holy Spirit. Foot washing. Holy Communion. Sabbath. Salvation. Second coming. Unfortunately, our volunteer did not get it all in the right order, but obviously, never mind, doesn't matter. Hopefully, he's got it. Well, I don't know how you did, but you know, hopefully, you know yourself how you did. Now, very well done. So, as I said, the aim is to really complete this within 10 to 15 seconds. You should just, you know, just like that. It should just click and you'll be able to do that, right? If you are going to do any kind of voluntary work, you know, if you can't even at the drop of a sort of hat, whatever hat that you're wearing, in Africa we do wear hats, believe it or not, okay, because of the sunshine, or in some cases people do use umbrellas, so at the drop of an umbrella, so hopefully that you'll be able to sort of run off what you believe in, because if you can't even be sure of, you can't even confirm to yourself and other people what you believe in, that's even without any content, I'm just talking about the keywords, then we are in a lot of trouble. But anyway, hopefully we get better at it. But because this is class for Africa, so hopefully we will do much better than that. Why is this suddenly so loud? Okay, anyway, so on that piece of paper, just mark off whatever you have written, okay? I'm going to reuse that piece of paper. And will you please mark 1 to 9? 1 to 9. Are you ready? How long would it take to mark 1 to 9?
9 seconds.
Thank you. My office is more than 9 seconds. You got it? 1 to 9. Ladies and gentlemen, can you please look at that little thing over there? And let's see what we've got there. Nothing. Here goes. 1 to 9. Come on, quick, chop. I will switch some of the lights off so that you can see clearly. Yeah, that's better. 1 to 9. Water baptism is the sacrament for the what for what? The baptism must take place in what? The Baptist, who already has had received baptism of what and the what, conducts the baptism in the name of the what, and the person receiving the baptism must be what in water with what and what. That's 9 blanks there. And I've already given you some hints as to how many words in each blank. Well, to be honest, I must make a confession. I don't expect you guys to get it exactly right, but hopefully we'll get the gist of it. I'd be happy. Finish?
No.
Finish? No? Come on. Come on. was scratching his head, yeah, or her head, yeah. That's a good sign. Shall we go on? Shall we go on? Yes, we shall go on. Because you could mark off another 8. Mark off another 8. And we're going to do foot washing. Mark off another 8, and we shall do foot washing. The sacrament of foot washing enables one to walk with the Lord Jesus. It also serves as a constant reminder that one should have what, and what.
Oh, okay.
Every person who has received water baptism must have his, her feet washed in the name of what? Mutual foot washing may be practiced. I don't know. So that's 3 words there. Oops, sorry. Anyway, that should be 8. I'm just doing the 5 basic doctrines, so don't worry. Sorry? What with the Lord? What with the Lord? 3 words.
Oh, A.
Yes, I should give you a hint, you know, a shorter word, a bigger word, you know. Yes.
But those are separate. Yeah, it's just 3 words is the first one.
So are there 8 blanks?
There are 8 blanks.
Maybe practice.
So you, the second one, is it 4? I'm confused, sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's at least how I counted it. Left my laser pointer at home, sorry.
4.
Have you got it? Shall I move on?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Okay, Holy Communion. Mark another 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. The next 2 is easy. Mark another 9. The Holy Communion is a sacrament to what of the Lord Jesus Christ? It enables us to partake of the what and what of our Lord and to be what with him so that we can have what and what on the last day. This sacrament shall be held what, only what and what shall be used. Okay, I've stopped using the word what, I just used blank. 9. Don't waste time. Just.
This is sacrament. Just to commemorate. The death.
Anyone? Finished? Shall I go on?
No.
Go on. Okay, the next one is easy. Next one is absolutely easy. Alright? Receiving the Holy Spirit. Evidenced by blank is the guarantee of a blank of the kingdom of heaven. So that's only 2.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get that, so what? Maybe we shouldn't be here. Never mind. Okay, got that? Okay, last. Last, we've got the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, bracket blank, is a holy day. Blank and blank by God. It is to be observed under the Lord's blank for the commemoration of blank and blank and with the help of blank blank in the life to come. But just one blank actually. Finish?
Yeah.
Finish? See, in NSSC, basically in the children's spiritual convocation or students' spiritual convocation, we would ask them or coerce them or force them to memorize everything. But, you know, you're getting it easy because you're just getting the blanks rather than
the whole thing.
Anyway, just 10 sentences. All right, anyway, doesn't matter. So, let's go back. Let's see how we do. Water baptism. It's the sacrament for the remission of sins for regeneration. Right? The baptism must take place in natural living water. The Baptist who already has had received baptism of water in the Holy Spirit conducts the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the person receiving the baptism must be completely immersed in water with head bowed and face downward. Hmm, not bad. Not bad, 100%, right? The sacrament of foot washing enables one to have a part with the Lord Jesus. It also serves as a constant reminder that one should have, and for the next five blank, I will allow you to sort of mix it all up, pick and mix, but it has to be one of the five words. Love, holiness, humility, forgiveness, and service. Every person who has received water baptism must have his or her feet washed in the name of Jesus Christ. Mutual foot washing may be practiced whenever is appropriate. Right. Next one. The Holy Communion is the sacrament to commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It enables us to partake of the flesh and blood of our Lord and to be in communion with Him so that we can have eternal life and be raised on the last day. This sacrament should be held as often as possible. Only one unleavened bread and grape juice shall be used. You don't need to copy the answer down because it's plastered all over in any kind of TJC publication that you can lay the hand on. Okay, don't tell me that you don't read any part of TJC publications, right? Bad idea. Right, this is the easiest one. Receiving the Holy Spirit evidenced by speaking in tongues is the guarantee of our inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. So that shouldn't be a problem. Last but not least, the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, and I did have students writing Sunday down, which obviously is totally and completely and utterly wrong. Saturday is a holy day, blessed and sanctified by God, if you do pay any attention to this morning's lecture. It is to be observed under the Lord's grace for the commemoration of God's creation and salvation, and that's the hint to your assignment. And with the hope of eternal rest in the life to come. Okay. So. That's it. Thank you. I'm not going to tell you how many marks you guys have got. Because.
Was it eternal?
I don't really want a heart attack. So I try not to ask, you know, how well you guys did. But anyway. Switch to that one. Okay, with that out of the way, hopefully that should be some kind of a reality check for everybody. We all assume, and remember, assume consists of three letters which says ASS, U-M-E, right? We all assume, and if you assume, then you become, never mind. If you assume, then you won't get anywhere. And hopefully, by doing what we did just now, it gives us a reality check on how well we know what we believe in. All right? Now, whether you can explain it, whether you can convince others, that's a completely separate matter. But at the very, very least, you must be sure about it. You must first of all convince yourself, all right? And we must know it. Otherwise, there is no hope whatsoever. I shouldn't say that. Everything is, never say never. Otherwise, there is very minute chance of you guys being able to successfully, you know, convey what we believe in to other people. And that is very important. Just by the fact that you guys, or we are here, hopefully, we all have some kind of intention, inclination, or whatever, to go to Africa or other pioneering areas, or okay, take a couple of steps back, go back to our local church and go back to, you know, our local church and assist in the divine work. But it really does not matter. We must be sure. If you want to do any work for God, particularly on evangelizing, in preaching the word of God, which by the way is the Bible doesn't say that, but in one of the headings, you know, traditionally, it's called the Great Commission. You know? If you want to go. Well, what's the Great Commission, by the way?
Go.
Go! Yes. Okay, can we be sure what the Great Commission is? Fishers of men.
In short, it's preaching and pastor.
Preaching and pastor. Right. Okay. Right. That conveniently, well, I'm not going to do that yet because let's talk just a little bit about religious education so that I can fulfill my topic first. All right. This is important. Because otherwise, I would not have, you know, done my job. You know, so let's spend about 5 minutes talking about that, and then just get that out of the way. That's important, right? Okay, how many of you are currently or was already teachers or a parent?
Or a parent?
Yes, not an, it's all. Already teacher, currently or in the past, or currently a parent. Hopefully, was not a parent. No. That's nasty, right? That's bad. Bad boy. Bad. Right, okay, most of you. Never mind. Yeah, it's not. It's all right. Okay. Now, the idea when we talk about religious... let's stick to RE, okay? It's shorter for me. The purpose of talking about RE is not talking about RE in its traditional sense. All right? Although, you might think that, you know, this is what I'm going to talk about, but I am not. For a very simple reason, if you are already an RE teacher, there's no point for me to talk to you about RE teaching kids. If you are not yet an RE teacher, the lessons that you spend here will not be enough to make you an RE teacher. So please do that at your local church. Okay? That has got nothing to do with me. But more importantly, hopefully, I want everybody to get out of the mode of confining ourselves in the traditional RE box. Because whenever we talk about RE, the first thing that comes into mind will be children running around, screaming, shouting, and doing all kinds of naughty things. That's RE. In your job, you march in, you're a teacher, sit down, be yourself, let me tell you this, let me teach you that. Right? That is traditional RE. And that's not what I want to talk to you about. Because, as I said, go back to your own local church, talk to your local church board, and if you are, then you are doing your job already. If you're a parent, then part of your job is doing RE anyway. And if you are neither a parent nor a RE teacher, then if you have that sort of tendency, or I'm not sure the tendency, if you have the aspiration, wrong word, aspiration to become an RE teacher, then you can talk to your RE department in your local area. The RE, for those people who have been here for the past 2 years, that I want to talk about is much bigger. It's much bigger in the sense that we're not going to confine ourselves to children or youths defined by age group or abilities or capabilities. That, to me, is not important. The most important thing concerning religious education, really, is about a holistic approach. Basically means it is a lifelong process. It involves the person in all aspects of life, and it goes on from the moment that you become a Christian, or you believe in Jesus, or you got baptized, or even before that, until you expire on earth. Mm-hmm. Right? That is the RE that I want to talk to you about. That is the most important thing. But before we go on to that, let's just revise. For those of you who are already RE teachers, you should know this. For those of you who have attended last year and the previous year's sessions, you should doubly know that. And that is, what are the three major objectives or goals of religious education? Quickly.
Imparts spiritual knowledge, build character.
Sorry? Okay, I asked one of the old, not age, wise, you know, previous attendees. Yes, Esther?
Impart biblical knowledge.
Okay, the first thing is impart knowledge, and then?
Character, build some character, godly character?
Christ-like place, though?
Yeah, something like that.
What do you mean by something like that? No, yeah. Wrong.
Character to build a Christ-like.
Nope, 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 nope.
That's That's what you said last year.
No!
Competent. Is it competent?
No, that's three.
Oh, three.
Mm. You see, for people who have attended last year and the year before,
competent worker.
I mean, what hope is there for people who have never attended? Yes, people. Exactly. That's what I thought.
Character.
It's Christian.
It's not.
It's both. It's
Christian lifestyle. I'm not in paranoid.
Yeah, it seems like
you're paranoid.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. No, to be honest, I have met so many teachers who really impair the knowledge of the students. But never mind, that's another story. Sorry. That's, I'm
behavior.
Not obviously.
It's behavior.
The second one to do with faith.
No, you haven't finished the first one yet. That's my point.
Oh, we're not finished the first one?
Yes, no, we have not finished the first one.
Oh.
Will you care to sort of attempt to finish it? For each objective, there has to be two parts. And each part is linked by what I usually use, an arrow, a double arrow. Okay? Because there is something that we do in 1, 2, and 3, and there is an objective, there is a result, there is a reason why we want to do that, as signified by the arrow. So we have already put in 1, and that is to impart knowledge.
So they're equipped?
No.
Should they be firm in faith?
Build up their faith, okay? Or firm in their faith, it doesn't matter. You know, wordings is not important, but you know, the important thing really is to get the concept in your mind, all right? The first thing that we have to do, and before we go on to the second and the third point, really, please, 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 this is not just, I repeat once again, talking about children, youths, classes, age groups, or whatever, okay? In my opinion, and feel free to debate it with me afterwards or you know, after I'm gone, right? Then feel free to disagree after I've gone home. Right, the point really is, in my opinion, all three points are applicable in all kinds of church work. And as I stated last year and the year before, if any church program, any church activity, whatever you want to organize, right? If it doesn't carry some kind of an objective like that, or you didn't want to try to achieve some kind of result on the other side, that is after the arrow, then we need to think again, and think again quickly and seriously. Anyway, we'll go back to that in a minute. Let's get these three things up on the board first, because I've already done it 2 years. But obviously, there are still people who are here for the first time. So, anyway, impart knowledge, build up faith. Now we need to beef it up and basically impart spiritual knowledge or biblical knowledge. I prefer spiritual because it is a different type of knowledge that people can get in school, attend classes, or in the world experience and that kind of thing. You know, it has to be spiritual, biblical knowledge. That's the whole idea when we're conducting in church. And the objective really is, why did we do that? It's because we want to build up the faith or establish the faith of an individual. Now, in terms of the three C's, I'll come to the three C's later on, never mind. Okay, let's go to the second one. Second one, you guys have been churning it out. Come on, what is it?
Character.
Character what?
To build up Christ. I mean, to build a Christ-like lifestyle.
Okay, the objective really is to build up a Christ-like lifestyle. But what's the bit before that?
Character.
Behavior, character.
Sorry?
It's going out words. What's going on? Find it. Guide good behavior.
Okay. We guide them towards good behavior. So that they will live a Christ-like lifestyle, right? The first thing is about knowledge. Knowledge is all in the brain, right? Knowledge It's something that people just absorb. Just like every day, whether we go to school, university, whether we work in a company or in society, you know, you gather knowledge, you gather experience, whether you learn to use the iPhone or smartphone, or whether you, you know, learn to do whatever. You know, it becomes part of your knowledge base. However, we want knowledge to do something, spiritual, biblical knowledge to build up faith. But that is something that is very personal, and that is something people will say that is very internal. And that is, you know, it hides within a person. You don't need to manifest it. Because how can you determine whether someone has got great knowledge or not, whether they know anything or not? Okay? Or whether they have great faith or little faith or not. We don't know. How do we determine that? We need to move on to the second step. But I might as well stop here and say that, you know, many a times we just want to stop there. Just want to stop there. And this is the biggest danger, or one of the biggest danger that we are facing in church today. We are satisfied with just simply teaching, telling them so that they amass a whole database of knowledge. And we just stop there. For example, in a traditional type of RE, for example, RE classes, okay? We just teach them. We teach them the stories or the applications or teachings, Bible facts, basic beliefs, whatever, right? After we teach it, we tend to do a test or an exam rather than a survey. Never mind, same thing. Okay? And then as long as the students get 99, 100, okay, let's not be too ambitious, let's say as long as the students pass the pass mark, whatever pass mark it is, alright, okay? Maybe the pass mark is 20 out of 100, I don't know. That's what happens in YTTC, by the way, isn't it? Right, okay, that's another story. Right. As long as people sort of pass a certain standard, then we're happy. And we use that type of a standard to say whether we have achieved our goal or not. But the point is, that's only part and parcel, that's only the first step of what we want to do. And that is just to impart knowledge, build up their faith, make sure that they know. Right? Just as I want to make sure that you know about your basic beliefs. That's why you do tests and things. But that doesn't tell me anything. Because by doing a survey, the best that it can tell me is what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge that you possess, right? Okay? Or your memory capability. Okay? Some people say, you know, my brain doesn't hold things, or whatever. You know, that's the best excuse in the world, right? My gray cells are sort of deteriorating. Or I often say, you know, oh, I'm getting old, I tend to forget things. Hopefully that doesn't apply to anyone here. Right, so we all want to concentrate on that. But that doesn't do us any good if we don't move on. The move on is to go to the second step is by having knowledge, by building up, establishing someone's faith, are we able then to make use of that and build on that and guide them towards good behavior or correct behavior? Now that is something that can be manifested outwardly. And that is something that needs to be shown. Why? Because we cannot be a closet Christian. We cannot just hide under the table and pretend that we know it all and we are happy and satisfied and everything is hunky-dory. No, it doesn't work like that. We need to move on and make sure that the next step is to have good, correct, biblical behavior. The standard is using the Bible again. Why? Because ultimately, what you want is have, dare I say it, a lot of little Christ. Parents, we make babies, and we all want our, well, we don't make babies, but no, just assume that we make babies, okay? We make babies, and, you know, sometimes people say, oh, it's very cute, it's like very like the mother, or very like the father, or like the grandfather, grandparents, or whatever, okay? You know, hopefully we'll take it as a compliment. Well, some don't, but you know, hopefully most of you do, right? Okay. Oh, you look like your dad. What? No way. Right, okay. So, but by having good behavior, not because we are cute or because, you know, we do certain things, but because, you know, we have behavior-wise, we're doing it rightly, that's why, at the end of the day, people will recognize that we belong to Christ. We are like Christ. And it is not just on one particular thing or a group of behaviors. The whole lifestyle, the whole life, everything, whether it is within church or outside church, has to be Christ-like. That means that no matter where you are, whatever you are doing, whatever you are saying, or whatever you are thinking, you know, we need to use Christ as our model. That is the second step that we want to nurture people towards. Right? Now, third thing. Kind of good behavior, Christ-like lifestyle, and thirdly is...
Power to serve.
Why are we always doing it the other way around? Okay. Okay, come on, let's swing the blank.
So is it bear fruit?
Bear fruit. What else? Bear fruit is more like the second part. Good behavior, bearing good fruit. Yeah. Okay. That's outwardly. That can be distinct. That can be discerned. Thirdly, it's not just enough. It is not enough just behave like Christ, or we have a Christ-like lifestyle.
Relationship.
Relationship with Christ. No, because we have already reached, or someone has already said, the ultimate aim is serve in the kingdom. So what could that be? And to be honest, since the majority of you are RA teachers in your local church, you should know this anyway.
Is it to help them rely on the Holy Spirit so they can serve as a competent worker?
Yes.
Cover everything.
Okay. Is to get or gain or rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? So that ultimately, right at the very end, is to serve in His kingdom. And that is the ultimate aim, I would say, ultimate, because there are obviously other things as well. But in terms of what we are doing, these three established goals of religious education in the True Jesus Church, it's not only just applicable in RE classes, children classes, youth classes, or whatever. It's much more than that. Because if you think about it, every program, everything that church wants to undertake must be geared towards this type of objective. If not, then, dare I say it, we're wasting our time, wasting our resources, and, you know, we are not doing what we are supposed to do. Now, I'm not saying that all the activities must have a very, very and clear defined goal, like blang, blang, and blang. Not like that. But at the back of your mind, whatever we do in the church, for anyone, whether it is for truth seekers, whether it is for the elderly evergreen class, or whether it is for sister fellowship, or, you know, for the whole church, or whatever, you know, you need to, or the church, and that's every one of us here, we need to ask ourselves, are we having some kind of an objective like that? Are we trying to achieve something like this? I'm not saying that it's not good to occasionally have a barbecue, or let's go for church outing to a national park, or whatever. I'm not objecting to that, that's fine. But even for those type of activities, it is important that it is not just for the sake of enjoying ourselves. It's not just for the sake of having a good time. Because if we plan it properly, if we think it through correctly, then we can always incorporate something on this side, on the whiteboard, into whatever we're doing. But if we just do it for the sake of doing it, oh, just have a good time, have a barbecue, or go out and have an outing, or, you know, do whatever activities, then we are basically neglecting, first and foremost, what God wants us to do as a community, and secondly, we're wasting our resources in terms of time, money, human power, or whatever, okay? in trying to promote a betterment for all the members in church or to other people outside church as well, depends on whatever program you're trying to do. Okay? So that is something that we must bear in mind. All right? And that is particularly important if we are to serve the Lord, whether it is in Africa, in a pioneering area, or whether we go back to our local church and undertake our usual roles and responsibilities and duties. It doesn't matter. Hopefully, whatever we do from now on, we will remember and take this to heart and be able to achieve something better for everybody, for the church. Right, okay, so that is basically what I talked about the year before and the year before that. Anyway, right, okay. Now, so that's all the way. I'll probably come back to that later on, but never mind. Right, now, before we diverted to here, we'll talk about the Great Commission. Come back to the original question. What's the Great Commission? Really? To preach the gospel? To baptize. Is that our Great Commission? To make new disciples. You are all right to a certain extent, but it's not a complete picture. Now, the generally so-called Great Commission, of course, the term doesn't appear in the Bible unless you have a Bible with some kind of section headings and it is a man-made section, okay? It's called a Great Commission because people traditionally, for the past 2,000 years, think that it is the Great Commission. I'm not going to argue with that, all right? That's fair enough. But where is it?
Matthew.
Okay, let's look at the last chapter of Matthew. That's Matthew 28, all right? Matthew 28. Now, if you read the last few verses, where's my Bible? Here it goes. Can you tell me where I should start reading? That's chapter 28, by the way, and it's not verse 1. Okay, 18 to 20. Anyone want to advance that? Higher or lower? Higher or lower? 19 to 20? 18 to 20? Anyone else? Well, I'm afraid I'll have to stop at 20 because there's no 21. Right? So we can only go back the other way. So where do you want to start? Let's start from verse 16. Okay? Then the 11 disciples went away from Galilee to the mountain which Jesus has appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. 18. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, why did I start reading from 16? Well, just for one very simple but might be to you insignificant reason is, where did the whole thing happen? On a mountain. Right, okay. Sometimes, okay, if you read the Bible, then you should be able to establish for yourself some kind of a pattern in the Bible. And in terms of pattern, what we're saying is, you see that there are sometimes recurring ideas in the Bible, throughout the whole Bible. And on the mountain is one of them. Because in the Bible, it's very often, I'm not saying that definitely or exclusively, but most of the time when it talks about on the mountain or something happening on the mountain, it actually does point to something which is important or something which is essential, all right? And this is one of the times, I think, that when it happens on the mountain, it also fit into the pattern, whether it is in the Old or the New Testament, that, you know, something important is going to happen. It is something that we should sit up and pay attention to, right? And what is that something? Well, obviously we know, as we learned from Chico, okay? We already know the results, so we are going to sort of push it back, you know? But, you know, that's not the point. When you first read it, oh, something's going to happen on a mountain. And then what happens? Jesus appeared to them. And what did the disciples do? What did the disciples
worship
do?
Him.
They worship him. Okay, so we can see that the disciples, they all worshiped him. That's normal, because hopefully, or theoretically, the disciples should know by this time who Jesus really was, right? His true identity. But then, as we always say, someone like to throw a spanner in the works. And what was that spanner?
Some doubted.
Okay, so people worship. Well, okay, we're going to have 11 disciples. They worship Jesus. That's fine. But, however, Matthew suddenly says, hey, but some doubted. Right. So this is a very interesting thing that we need to take note of. Why? Because for what is to follow, of course, Jesus knows, but it is therefore applicable to everybody. Well, applicable to the 11 disciples anyway at that time. Even though amongst the 11, some may remain doubtful of what is going on, whatever that doubt might be, hasn't really sort of pinpointed where the doubt lies or what the doubt should be, would be, but it doesn't matter. Some have doubt, some are doubtful, but it doesn't matter. Because even though some were doubtful, some have doubts, all right, Jesus still goes on and give everybody the same commission. Today, do not get into the mindset that something has to be done specifically by someone alone. It's very easy to get into that mindset, particularly in the church. When something needs done, we would be the first one to put up a hand, not to volunteer, but to nominate someone else to do it. Right? Whether it is something that needs sorting. Oh, there's a leaking tap. Oh, I know, brother so-and-so. He can go and do it. Right? When, you know, the church is not clean enough, in our opinion, then it says, ah, I know. Let's go to the notice board, see which cleaning group this week should be doing it, and tell the group leader, hey, the church is not clean, you better do something about that group leader for the week. Or whatever. You know, we're good at putting our hands up and nominate people to do it. But the point is, why can't we do it ourselves? Why can't we do it ourselves? Of course, maybe we say a leaking tap, that's not really my department. That's fair enough. But let me give you one very interesting example, right? I'm sure that we all frequent number one, right? Right? We all go to the toilet occasionally. You don't? You don't? Yes, you do. Right, well done. Thanks for the confession. Right, we all use toilet rolls, right?
Yes.
Now, in church, next time when you go into the toilet, in actual fact, you will notice in London church they are doing it very well. But in other churches, I do not notice this at all. But, you know, from my own experience, I can tell you one very simple thing is, when you finish, I'm not accusing any of you. I do apologize. When someone finish using a toilet roll, what happens? The cardboard, what do you call it? The core, okay? Which as a child we like to collect to make, whatever activities, okay? But that's beside the point. Most of the people, when the toilet roll is finished, they leave the cardboard, whatever you call it. What do you call it?
The tube.
The tube, well done. Very good, we've got the expert here. On toilet rolls. Right, okay. People tend to leave the tube, the cardboard tube, in the toilet roll holder, and they just open up another toilet roll. Over time, what happens? We've got the old one still in the toilet roll holder. We've got a few empty ones dotted around in the toilet, and everyone will complain and say, there is no toilet paper in the toilet. right? Now, the question is, whoever you are, if you are intelligent, old enough to use toilet paper, then I'm sure that you're old and intelligent enough to replace a toilet roll. Right? But we don't. Because why? Because this is church. This is church. Someone else's responsibility. Someone else is supposed to do it. Whether it is the cleaning group, whether it is the caretaker, or whether it is the one who actually finished it last, or whatever. Okay? This is some kind of a mindset from little small things that we need to look into and rectify. Right? That's part of religious education. This type of mindset needs to be changed. Why is that important? Because we cannot just keep on putting our hands up, nominate or point to other people and say, I've noticed a problem, there is something that needs to be done, but it's not my problem, and it's not my problem because I'm not going to do it. Okay? So, let's take a rest of 15, and hopefully I'll be able to continue where I left off. Okay, so let's bow and pray. Amen. Okay, 15.
It's good to know because he said that the mountain.